This program is made possible by BibleWayMedia.org, overseen by the Ooligah Church of Christ in Ooligah, Oklahoma. You're listening to Opening the Scriptures with Don Boyd.
I want to thank you for tuning in to listen today to Opening the Scriptures. Today we're going to continue in our series of studies on the Beatitudes of the Bible. Today we're going to be looking at Blessed are the readers and hearers. You know, we ask ourselves this question: what do I spend most of my time reading? Well, when we spend most of our time reading about politics and sports, listening to talk shows or whatever it may be, what benefit do we really get out of it? Why not spend more time reading and listening to God's Word? Jesus encourages us to read and to listen to God's Word to receive eternal blessings. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, Revelation 1, 3, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Now, when we look in Revelation chapter 1, we find the path of revelation in Revelation 1, 1. It says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John." So the message of Jesus Christ did not originate with Christ himself. The Father gave him the word that he proclaimed. You might want to keep your marker here in Revelation 1, and let's go to John 12, John chapter 12, and we want to look at John 13. In John 12, verses 49 and 50. He says, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." So right there we see that the words that Jesus spoke came from the Father. In John chapter 8, look at verses 26 through 28. John 8, 26 to 28. "I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father." Then verse 28, "Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." The Holy Spirit revealed all truth to the apostles and prophets. I want to look at John 16, verses 13 through 15. John 16, 13 through 15. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you." In that passage we see that the Holy Spirit is the one that received the word from God, or from Christ there, and then revealed that to the apostles, and that's to whom he's speaking there. And then we go to 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. It says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The word moved there means to carry along as on a ship. So the words came from God the Father. This is the path of revelation. God the Father, to God the Son, to the messenger here, and in the messenger here in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, the King James says, angel, the word means messenger. That would mean the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one that reveals the Word of God to human beings. So it goes God the Father, to God the Son, to God the Spirit, to John, and then to Christians. Revelation 1:4 says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. The number seven there representing perfection, so the seven spirits there would represent the Holy Spirit. Now let's go to Revelation 22:16. Revelation 22:16. It says there, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel, or again the word angel there means messenger, to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. Again, the word translated angel there means is the Greek word angelos. Thayer says that word means a messenger, an envoy, one who is sent, an angel, a messenger from God. And the Holy Spirit was the messenger from God that revealed the Word of God to John. Now, there were heavenly beings called angels that did speak to John. When we look in Revelation chapter 10, verses 8 and 9, Revelation 10, 8 and 9, and the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And then also we look another instance is Revelation 22:8-9. Revelation 22:8-9. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book worship God. So there were angels that spoke to John, but the Holy Spirit would be the messenger that revealed the Word of God to him. John bore witness of three things. Revelation chapter 1, verse 2. It says there, of John, because the last part of verse 1 says, revealed or signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. So John bore witness, first of all, of the word of God. Keep your marker here in Revelation 1 and go to John chapter 1. Verses 1 through 3. John 1, 1 through 3. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So there we see John bore witness of the Word of God, and the Word there in Revelation, John 1 is Jesus Christ himself. In verse 14 it says of John 1, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." In John 19, look at verse 35. John 19, verse 35. It says there, "And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe." And of course, John there is speaking of himself. He bore record to that, the things that he saw. Now, John 21, 24. John 21, 24. "This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true." And now go to 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. 1 John 1, 1 through 3. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." So John bore witness of the Word. That's the first thing that is mentioned there in Revelation chapter 1, verse 2. The second thing it mentions there, he says, "who bear record of the Word and of the testimony of Jesus Christ." In Revelation 1, 4 through 6, Revelation 1, 4 through 6, it says, "John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood," now verse 6, "and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So Jesus Christ is one that bore witness or testified, and that's what bear record there means. In John 20, 30 and 31, John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. It says there, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." So John bore witness of the testimony of Jesus Christ. The word testimony there in the Greek just simply means evidence given. So John gave the evidence there of the testimony or the evidence of Jesus Christ. John also, going back over to Revelation chapter 1 and in verse 2, Revelation 1, 2, he bore record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. So he bore record of the things which he saw. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 9, Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. In John chapter 20, excuse me, Revelation chapter 20. Look there in verse 4. He says there, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus Christ and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So right there, John saw that. In verse 11 of Revelation chapter 20, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." Verse 12 of Revelation 20, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." So John bore witness or testimony or bore record of the things which he saw. Now, we go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. A blessing is pronounced on those that read and hear and obey. Revelation 1:3. "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." There are two distinct groups that are mentioned here in this verse. First of all, we have, "Blessed is he that readeth." The man who reads this to the congregation. Keep your marker here. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. 1 Timothy 4, 13. It says there, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." The word reading there, the word translated reading, Vincent's Word Study says the Greek verb there means usually of public reading. When you look in Robertson's Word Pictures, it also says probably in particular the public reading of the Scriptures, though surely private reading is not to be excluded. So he that readeth, public reading here to the congregation that is being written to. A second group that is mentioned here is they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things written therein. Those are the members of the congregation who hear the word and obey. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, again, verse 16 now, 1 Timothy 4, 16, Paul says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continuing them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Those who hear and obey will be blessed. Now let's drop a little bit closer into there. Blessed are the readers. God's truth is imparted by publicly reading the Scriptures in the assembly. Go to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. And I want to begin reading here up in verse 14. It says, "But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down." Now notice verse 15. "After the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men And brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. So right there, they read the scriptures. We need to be reading the scriptures as well, because God's truth is imparted there by publicly reading the scriptures in the assembly. That should show us that whenever we have someone who is doing a lesson and they do not use but one or two scriptures in that lesson, that's not much of a lesson, because we need to learn the truth. Now, there are some lessons, whenever you look at things such as the various dating systems and things like that, it's going to be hard to use scriptures in something like that. But God's truth is imparted by publicly reading the scriptures in the assembly. God's truth is also imparted by privately reading the scriptures. Go to John 17:17. John 17:17. This is Jesus' prayer there to the Father. And he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word of God is the truth by which we will be saved. In John 8:31-32. John 8:31-32. He says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We read in John 17:17 that God's word is truth. Jesus says here that we can know the truth. We can know God's word. We can understand God's word. There seems like so many today that are trying to tell us we can't understand it. We all understand it differently. No, we can understand God's word the way he said it. It's when we start trying to interpret God's word to what we want to hear is when we get into trouble. God is smart enough to tell us what he means, and God means what he says. And he doesn't go, if somebody told me I want you to go down to the auto parts store and buy a headlight for my 1995 Nissan pickup, I'm not going to go down there. Well, I'm going to interpret that in meaning that he would rather have a headlight from a 2017 Nissan pickup. Now, I don't know if they'll interchange or not, but I would think they probably wouldn't. But if I get that and say, well, look how much better this light is. Yeah, but it doesn't fit the vehicle I want to put it on. You know, we start interpreting things. If somebody told me to go get the light for that specific vehicle, that's what I need to do, and not try to interpret what they said. In John 12, begin reading there in verse 47. It says, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And again, we go back to that point. The word that Christ spoke is what's going to judge us, not what we interpreted. There are many different interpretations that mankind comes up with. But again, God is smart enough to tell us what we need to know, and we can understand what he said if we will accept what he said. If we will just accept it. As one man here in the congregation says, there are a lot of people that believe in God. There are just not that many that believe God. And that's the way it is. People don't want to believe God. Now, something else we need to understand as well. You can read without studying. You know, you could get a calculus book, sit down there and just read through it. And when you get through reading through it, you're going to know everything about calculus, right? No, you're not. You have to study. in order to learn about calculus. So you can read without studying, but you cannot study without reading. When we study God's Word, we are applying our mind to acquire knowledge. And that's what we need to learn, is the knowledge that is found in the Word of God. In Nehemiah chapter 8, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, says, "So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading." We need to understand what we are reading. Go to Luke 2:22-23. Luke 2:22-23. It says there, "And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." If they did not study the law of Moses, they would not have known to do that. We have to study the Word of God and acquire the knowledge. They had to acquire the knowledge here to do what the law of God, or the law of Moses, they're the same thing, what that law required. And again, we've already read 1 Timothy 4:13, but let's go back over and read it again. 1 Timothy 4:13, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." You know, there is an urgency to do that. Give attention, pay attention there to the Word of God. Now, I want to look at the description for studying. The description for studying, 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So whenever we go in and we look at that verse a little bit more carefully, we first of all find the word "study." Whenever you look at the Greek word there, and is the Greek word spidazo, Strong says it means to use speed, that is to make effort, be prompt or earnest. We might put it in our lingo, do your very best. We need to study, we need to give diligence, and that's the way that the American Standard Version renders the word "study" there. Next, we look at the word "show." Study to show. That word means to, according to Strong's again, to exhibit, to proffer or recommend, to be at hand or ready. Study to show yourself ready or recommended, thyself approved. Approved there means acceptable or approved, according to Strong's. So we need to do our very best to present ourselves as acceptable to God. We are to be acceptable to God, to deity, divinity, acceptable to Him. And then we notice that next little word there, a workman. Strong says that word means a toiler, figuratively a teacher. We are to be a workman. The Bible student is a one individual that works at studying the Word of God. It takes work to study God's Word, just like it takes work to study anything else. going back to the illustration a while ago of calculus. It's going to take work, get involved in doing your very best in order to you to gain knowledge about calculus. It is going to take work for us to study God's word and do it right. Study it. Work at it. And if we do, the Bible student gains knowledge. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, the Bible student learns how to handle God's word correctly, rightly dividing. We're going to gain that knowledge, and that means that we are not going to be ashamed. Now, there's nothing wrong with somebody asking you a question and you go, I don't know the answer to that. But let me go and study some more so that I can get you an answer. That is honesty. If someone asks you a question, don't make something up. Don't try to think, well, I think this is what it means. No, study on it and get them a correct answer. They're going to respect you a whole lot more, and the Bible a whole lot more if you will do that. Now, talking about the Bible student gains knowledge or not being ashamed, I want to look at two verses there. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. It says there, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. God's word is the sword of the Spirit, and if we don't know how to handle the sword of the Spirit, we're not going to be any good at bringing others to God or living correctly ourselves. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, 1 Peter 3, 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Well, we need to know how to answer people. And again, we're not going to know every answer that someone asks us, but we're going to know why we have the hope that we have. We're going to know that, are we not? And then, back to 2 Timothy 2:15, the end there, the Bible student learns how to handle God's word correctly. Again, rightly dividing is the way it's translated there in the King James Version. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, Romans chapter 15, verse 4, says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. In order for us to understand the New Testament better, we need to have an understanding of the Old Testament. Because, as Paul wrote here to the Roman church, those things were written for our learning. Now, how would we know where we came from if it wasn't for the book of Genesis? How would we know how Christ came into this world if it wasn't for the Old Testament? We have to not only work at studying the New Testament, we've got to work at studying the Old Testament as well. And by the way, when you look at 2 Timothy 2:15, they didn't have a completed New Testament anyway. You think about the Bereans there in Acts chapter 17. Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. What Scriptures were they searching? The Old Testament Scriptures. The Old Testament shows us how God brought Christ into the world. He shows us and And then you look there in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. It says there, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Christ was born of a woman and born under the law. That's when the time was right. God spent about, what, 4,000 years preparing the world to send his son into it. So we're going to rightly divide the word of God and knowing what to do with it. Go also to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. It says there, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, and it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So right there, God revealed these things through the Holy Spirit to those men who were inspired. And if we will read and study, then we can understand. Look at 2 Peter 3:16. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. It says there, and this is Peter speaking, of Paul, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, and Peter there is talking about second coming of Christ, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, W-R-E-S-T, means to twist, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Paul wrote some things that are hard to be understood. Now, again, specifically here, looking at the second coming of Christ and the events that are going to take place on that day. But Paul also wrote other things that are hard to be understood. Does that mean we can't understand them? No. Because he continues to say there, those that are unlearned, in other words, those that have not studied properly, and those that are unstable, they will twist the scriptures, they will pervert the scriptures. And he says, as they do also other scriptures, unto their own destruction. That is another reason we need to study the Word of God, so that we don't destroy ourselves. We don't pervert the gospel of Christ. As Paul mentioned there in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that calls you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Those who were troubling the church in Galatia were perverting Christ's gospel. Verse 8, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. How do we know if he's not teaching the same thing? We have to study the Word of God like the Bereans did. Search the Scriptures. We must align ourselves with what the Word of God says, and not try to make the Word of God align itself with us. We need to go to the Word of God to try to see what God is telling us to do, not what we wish God would tell us to do. Now, thus blessed are the readers and those that study. Now, blessed are the hearers that obey. Going back there to Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The word keep there in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. The word keep there, according to Strong's, means to watch or guard from loss or injury properly by keeping the eye upon. So we're paying attention to, we are guarding, we are keeping, we are obeying the word of God. The word blessed there means blessed, fortunate, or well off. We hear the word of God when it is read publicly, but we also hear the word of God when we read it privately. Colossians 4, 16. Colossians chapter 4, verse 16. It says there, and when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. So right there, even though, you know, this letter was written to the church in Colossae, but Laodicea was a congregation not very far from there, and he said, you share these messages. They're not going to be exactly the same. You share them. You read theirs and let them read yours. You know, our faith is developed by hearing the Word of God. Go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. We want to begin reading there in verse 13. And we're going to read down through verse 18. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now stopping just there for a minute, what does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord? Acts 22:16 gives us that answer. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord, being obedient to God and what God has said. That's what calling on the name of the Lord is. It's not like those that say, oh, I call on Jesus. No. You know, you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7:21? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Calling on the name of the Lord is doing the will of the Father, not just pretending to. But now let's keep reading here in Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Someone has to teach the word of God to people for them to hear the word of God. Verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. If you are teaching someone the word of God, that's what you're doing. Now verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And in verse 18, but I say, have not they heard, or have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went out into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Not everyone believes the word of God. Our faith is developed by hearing God's word. And what is faith? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God's word shows us evidence of God. Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. All we have to do is look around. We'll know that God exists. But if we know that God exists, then we need to look and see what God wants us to do. And the only way we can find that is by looking in his word. And that's where faith is developed, by hearing the word of God. We will be blessed when we obey what we have read or heard read. Again, there, looking at the word keep, we looked at Strong's definition a while ago. Thayer says the word means to attend to carefully, to take care of. A few passages concerning that. John 13:17. Jesus says here, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Do them. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. Right there it shows us by faith, and there's, you know, many other through here by faith. What did they do? By faith, they did what God commanded. They did what God commanded. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. 1 John 3:12, again going back to Cain. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Cain killed Abel because he did wickedness. His actions were wicked. We look at James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. James 1:22-25, he says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. In other words, you do, you obey the word of God. Don't just read it and forget it. You read the word of God, you make the changes that need to be made in your life, and you live righteously. You know, that's what he's saying here in verses 23-25. For if any be a hearer of the word of, and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. He looks in the mirror, he sees the changes that need to be made, and then he goes away without making the changes. We need to look into the mirror of God's word and make the necessary changes. And that's what he's saying here. Verse 24, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way straightway, forgetteth what manner of man he was. He doesn't care. But the one that cares is found in verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. That means you keep on in the perfect law of liberty, the word of God. And being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. We will be blessed if we keep and obey the word of God. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Jesus made a plain statement there. He says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? See, that's it right there. People go, oh, I believe in the Lord Christ. Jesus this, Jesus that. And yet they don't believe him. They don't do what he says. And he goes, why do you do that? It makes absolutely no sense. Now, we made reference to Matthew 7:21 earlier, but let's go read Matthew 7:21 on down to verse 27. Matthew 7:21-27. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day being the judgment day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. What's the illustration? You hear the word of God, you obey the word of God. But now we look at the flip side. Verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. What's the illustration? Those that hear the word of God and do not obey it are condemned. The great fall, hell forever. That is about those who do not obey the word of God. So what is the conclusion here of the whole matter? Those who are blessed are those that read the scriptures and hear the scriptures, study the scriptures, and obey the scriptures.
When you're in Moody, Missouri, you're invited to visit the Moody Church of Christ, located on Highway E in Moody, Missouri. The congregation there meets on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Bible class, 11 a.m. for worship, and then again at 6 p.m. for Sunday evening worship. They also meet at 6 p.m. on Wednesday night for Bible study. We hope you enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Bible Wave Media by visiting us at BibleWaveMedia.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We thank you for listening.